John this morning. Now, brother, where did you tell me you were living now? You're still in McDowell County? Nebo? Where?
Nebo.
Where? Oh. Yeah, I know. I know where I was born and raised up there. Yeah. Of course, I left when I was about five. So my memories are all kind of tangled up. But when I was a boy, I went to Nebo Baptist Church with my folks, you know, when I was just, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, I guess. But been a while. I'm well over 30 now, and so you know how long it's been. All right, where was I at? John chapter 14, John chapter 3. If you get John chapter 3 in one hand, John chapter 4 in one hand. I'm sorry? 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 3 and John chapter 14. So you got John 3 in one hand, John 14 in one hand, and shake hands with your neighbor with the other hand. All right. All right, John chapter 3. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now look in John chapter 14. Look all the way down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need your grace. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. And Father, we need your enabling. We will not be able to say or do anything of any import or of any lasting value except you do it through us. And hide us now behind the cross. Cleanse us with the blood of the Lamb. Speak through us. Be a blessing to these thy people. Encourage us in the things of God. And my Father, that somehow, some way, we might say or do something that would bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, The Teacher. There in John chapter 3, he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And in John 14, 26, talking about the Holy Spirit, that He will teach you all things. God is a teacher. Now, there was a number of references. You can find verses where God the Father taught. You can find verses where God the Holy Spirit teaches. You can find verses where God the Son teaches. And so, God collectively, the Godhead, teaches. Now, there's a reason for that. God doesn't do anything for no reason at all. Amen. I got to thinking about that a couple of weeks ago. I've spent a good bit of my life being a teacher. When I was in the United States Navy, the last 10 years I was there, my job was a teacher. I taught theory of flight and the basic principles of jet engine operation. And sometimes I substituted with a course on basic hydraulics and how hydraulics work. And so I spent a lot of time teaching. And in order to do that, you had to go to school to learn how to be a teacher. Now, Jesus never had to go to school to learn how to be a teacher. Amen. But He was a teacher nonetheless. Mortals like you and I have to learn how to do it. And so I went off to school, and we went to school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and we normally had 5 or 6 hours of homework every night. It was a super intense course on how to be a teacher. And they gave you some inspiration, because back at the back of the classroom, right up above the teacher's head, was a little sign that said, participate and graduate, fail and sail. And so that was your motivating force to complete the course. Amen. And so they taught us how. So I learned all about making curriculums and lesson guides and methods of instruction and how to use multimedia presentations. And they taught us all kind of things. One of my favorite parts of the course was a thing called distracting mannerisms. And everybody's got some, but you have to work on it. You ever watch folks that do certain things when they're talking or speaking, and you end up paying more attention to what they're doing than what they're saying? Or they do something that is just so aggravating, you're stewing inside saying, I wish he quit that. Amen. People pick up a certain way of speaking, and they will use the same phrase over and over and over and over. It's like listening to a chicken. You, after a while, you want to say something different. Cats. I hate cats. You ought to shoot them all. They only got one word. Meow, 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 meow. A dog's got three or four sounds. You know, he can change the pitch or the... Not a, those things are annoying. And people who teach tend to pick up little idiosyncrasies where they do things and they're too flamboyant. Or they say about every other word that, you know, and it just... And they creep in on you and you don't even know it sometimes. It's really hard to keep them out, but you have to work at it. But what I'm saying is, we have to learn to be teachers. Jesus Christ didn't have to learn. He's God. He is the master teacher. Amen? But the Bible, in a number of places, talks about the part of His ministry where He came to teach. And I thought that was significant. Here's the God of the universe who will take the position of a teacher in order to help and to instruct others. Now, that means that you and I must need to learn something. It means that we don't know it all, and we certainly probably don't know near as much as we think we do, and we need to be instructed. Well, anyway, I got to thinking about all that teaching stuff and all the principles of teaching and the reinforcement theory and all that stuff, you know. Like in Bible college, they teach you when you, if you're going to preach, preaching is teaching. And the best way to do that is, there's three ways to do it. You tell them what you're going to tell them. So now this morning we're going to talk about so-and-so. Then you tell them. Then you talk about this, that, and the other, whatever it was you just told them you was going to tell them. And then you tell them what you told them. So now this morning we've learned, and you go over, and so they get it three times. Because repetition is the key to learning. Tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them what you told them. Now I don't ever do that, but that's what you're supposed to do. It's not that I don't know that, it's just I don't do that. Now, so I'm acquainted with teaching. And then here the Bible said that Jesus Christ was a teacher. And I thought, how can we use that? How can it be beneficial to know that? So I have nine things this morning I want to present to you about teachers. Life is all about learning. All your life long, if you're wise at all, will be one long, continual learning process. Somebody or something will be teaching you and influencing you your whole life through. When you get to be 70 or 80, you'll still be learning. You will still be in the process of being taught. Amen? And so I got to thinking about that. Life is a classroom in which we are instructed and which we're taught by the master teacher. I thought, how does he do that? Well, the truth is that he does that in a manner very similar to what our earthly teachers do. And so I want to give you some of those. They're very simple, nothing great and profound or deep here this morning. yet it can affect your life in the overall theme of things and determine how you come out in the end. I know when I was a boy, I had teachers, and everybody talks about, oh, I had this teacher, and she was so wonderful. And you talk to somebody else, and they had a teacher, and, oh, they just loved that teacher to death. I'm here to tell you, I wish y'all had left some of them for me, because I never had one I liked. God is my witness. They is all ugly. They is all mean. And none of them ever liked me. I never got to be anybody's class pet. Now, it may have had something to do with my smart mouth and my smart alecky ways. But I didn't realize that for years and years and years. Amen. I might have had more teachers that I liked if I had behaved better.
Amen.
Amen. But in any event, I didn't like none of them. They were all a pain in the neck to me. And I don't know what it is. We get a chip on our shoulder about teachers, and we decide we're going to learn as little as possible. And so you sit there and you daydream. They're giving you math lessons and teaching you how to multiply and divide and add and subtract and do basic geometry and algebra and this, that, and the other. And you're off in never land someplace doing something you got no business doing. And then when the class is over and the teacher says, you got any questions, again, what were you talking about? Because you didn't pay any attention. Amen. They assign homework and you won't do it, and they want you to participate in class and you won't do it, and you end up failing or being a very marginal student, and then we wonder why we don't succeed in life. Because you wouldn't let anybody teach you anything. And you're going to spend the rest of your life flipping hamburgers and working down at Joe's Exxon station. Amen. You're not going to amount to anything because you never learned anything. And this is the world in which you have to know some things to get by. Amen. And so I want to talk to you this morning about teachers. I'll give you nine little things and we'll go have a nice lunch. Number one, teachers present material and they explain the relevance and the expected use of the material. You go in a classroom and the teacher said, get out your book, and then she gets out the teacher's guide, or he, and they say, turn to page so-and-so, and this morning we're going to talk about, and there's a subject there, whether it's math or history or English or civics or whatever it is, and they'll present some material, some of it you'll read out of the book, and the teacher will elaborate on it and explain some of it, and you will discuss it and all this, that, and the other. But it's the job of the teacher to present you the material that you need to learn. Because somewhere down the road, she's going to test you on what you learned. And so she has to stick to what's in the book. She has to stick to the lesson plan or the lesson guide. And they have to teach you, they have to present that material, and they are expected to, when they present it, say, now, the reason for this is, and this works this way, and this will do that, and you can accomplish this. They not only present the material, they give you the relevance of the material, and what you are expected to do with it now that you've got it. The point is not just to fill your head with information. The object in teaching is to transfer knowledge from me to you in such a way that you can apply what you learned. So that it can impact your life. So that it can change your life. So that you can use it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Teaching has not occurred with the presentation of information. Teaching has occurred when learning takes place. When you can take what I said and explain it and understand it and apply it. That's the objective of every good teacher. Amen? And so the first thing teachers do is they present material and explain the relevance and what you're expected to do with it. Secondly, teachers try to ensure understanding. What good does it do to get up here and say a bunch of words and utter a bunch of phrases and give some illustrations and teach a great lesson and have a great point if you don't get it?
What's the point? The reason you come down here on Sunday morning, the reason you come down here on Sunday night, the reason you come on Wednesday evening, at least I hope the reason you come, is because you want to learn something you don't know already. You're supposed to have a hunger to be a better person, to be a better Christian, to be a better citizen, to be a better mom or dad or whatever it is. And so you come to be instructed and taught. Well, if you come down here and take your time, it's incumbent upon me to make sure that when the lesson is over for today, you understood what it was about. And so, why don't you use better language? Why don't you use bigger words? Why don't you emphasize grammar and all more? But I want to talk like you talk so you understand what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. Man, we can get up here and talk about superlapsarianism and all those theological terms. Does that mean anything to anybody? Amen. If we discuss the doctrine of impeccability, is anybody here impressed? If I conjugate the verb luo and the pluperfect, is anybody impressed with my knowledge and grasp of Greek? Of course not. See? Now, if I'm the teacher for the day, my job is to make sure that I put out information that you need, but I got to put it out in such a way that you get it. Amen? And I need to be involved enough and observant enough to see whether you're getting it or not. And when I see those puzzled looks and those quizzical looks on your face, then I've got to back up and illustrate it a different way. I remember, I've been to all kinds of schools. My goodness, it seems like I've spent half my life in an educational process somewhere. And I've had some good teachers and I've had some bad. And the worst teacher in the world is not necessarily the one that's monotone, even though they are bad. The ones that are the worst that only know how to tell it one way. And if you don't get it that one way, they're at a loss as how to give it to you. That used to irritate me to death. They'd say, blah, 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 and say, now, has everybody got that? No, it didn't make any sense to me. And so they go, blah, 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 blah again and tell me exactly the same thing. Well, I didn't get it the first time, knucklehead. I didn't get it the second time. We're not mentally retarded. We just don't understand what you're saying. Explain it to me another way. Come from this side instead of this side. Come down the middle. Sneak in the back door. I don't care. Just tell me give me an illustration or an explanation that clicks in my brain. Every good teacher's got more than one way to tell it. Amen. Now the teacher's job is to ensure understanding. When you get through with a sermon, when you get through with a lesson, when you get through teaching a book, the people who listen to you for 30 or 45 minutes or an hour ought to have some information they did not have before, and they ought to have it in such a way that they understand what it is, what it does, and what they should do with it now that they have it. Amen? When you do that, you're a pretty good teacher. You've got the job done. Now, that's what God does. God takes life and teaches us lessons. And He gets it right down on a real personal level. God is one of the great one-on-one teachers. You see, I take a congregation here. We got 35, 40 people, and I'm talking to the group. But God is here this morning, and He's teaching, and He's taking that message, and He's sticking it in Lewis's heart, and Lewis is getting what Lewis needs for the situation and the place and time he is in his life. And God, the Holy Spirit, take that same message and work on this sweet little old lady right here and do the same thing for her, but she won't get exactly out of it what he got. And when all of y'all leave, everybody, I hope, got something, but you got it tailor-made for you personally by the greatest teacher the world has ever known, Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Amen. Number three. Teachers give time to study and assimilate the material. There are some things that are very, 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 very simple. Very easy to be understood, and you don't need a college education, and you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure it out. They're just so fundamental, and they're so basic, and they're so simple. They're little one-step learning processes, and you hear it one time, you ought to get it. Amen? There's a lot of stuff like that. But don't know about you, but I've studied some subjects that were, be quite honest, over my head. Amen. And I really, really had to work at it. Now, there are not many of those. Laugh, that was funny. But I have run into a situation or two, a subject or two, a proposition or two, a theological position or two that took some real work on my part to get it. I mean, I'm just not the brightest bulb in the pack. And boy, I come across some things and I got to go, I need some extra help with that. And God teaches me a lesson and gives me the information, but I don't get it all at one time. So what does God do? God gives us time to think about it and to mull it over and to rehearse it and to talk to somebody else about it and say, Brother Lewis, I was thinking about so-and-so the other day. What do you think about that? See? And he'll give me his opinion, and I'll go off and I'll think about that a while. I say, well, I can't buy that. That guy's out of his mind. And and God will give you a space, the teacher gives you a space to take the information that they presented and the information that you've discussed and the ones you said you understand and you know what to do with it, that's still in your head. That's all right here. Now, over a period of time, you will work on that and you'll take part of it and discard part of it. It's very rare when you end up taking everything somebody else says and believing all of it. Amen? And so, God, in no rush, He wants to teach and He wants to make sure that you learn it, but He wants to make sure that it becomes you. I can get up here and preach on almost anything, and I give you enough scripture verses, enough illustrations, I'll convince you in your head. But being convinced in your head and being convinced in your heart, two different things. Because once you leave here and go outside and it begins to get dull and it gets a little cold and you have time to think about it, sometimes you want to back up on it. Yeah, well, maybe I was a little too quick on the trigger in accepting everything he said. There's a hole here and there's a hole there. See? And so you've got to have time to process what you've been taught. I was talking to a fellow one time, and he had some new folks coming into his church. And they've been there about 3 or 4 months. And he said, they're new converts. He said, but man, they've been coming about 3 or 4 months. He said, I've got them grounded in the Word of God. I thought, you're an idiot. I'm talking to the village idiot here. This guy's a moron. You ain't got nobody grounded in nothing in 3 or 4 months. You'd be lucky if you get them grounded in anything in 3 or 4 years. Amen. And some of that stuff is going to take 10 or 12 years. People process stuff slow. They change positions slow. That's the reason you see these preachers take somebody else's church, you know, an independent Baptist takes a Southern Baptist church, and he's going to turn it around in 6 months. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. I saw a guy down here take a little church a few years ago, and I talked to that fella, and he was going to go down there, and boy, he was going to get him out of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he was going to turn that thing around, and I said, son, you better go down there with about a 5-year plan. I said, in the first 3 years, don't change nothing. I said, you're a fool for doing it. But if you're going to do it, go down there and spend the first 3 years being Mr. Nice Guy. Suck up to everybody. Kiss every butt in the place. I mean, just be what they want. Let everybody learn to love you. I said, be above board in everything you do. Learn to let them trust you. Get their confidence. Win their hearts. And then I said, the last 2 years you can begin to change things. But then you got to change it a little bit at a time. A tiny little bit. Don't take that ugly picture of Jesus they got behind the pulpit there and throw it in the trash can. I said, just move it over to a sidewall, see, and put something else and say, and don't say we're doing that because Jesus didn't look like that and that's a bad picture. You know, I mean, don't hurt their feelings. Just move it over here and put something else up there and say it was time for a change. And just, I said, and wait about 6 months and then move that thing back to that back wall. And about 6 months later, you can throw that thing in the trash, see. But if you just take it out and throw it in the trash, and that old biddy that gave it to the church sees that thing in the trash can some Sunday morning, I said, you just run her off, and she'll take about 8 or 10 more of them old hens with her. Amen, brother. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. To give students time to assimilate. The human psyche is a strange thing. We listen to stuff, we hear stuff, and we say, oh, I believe that, boy, that sounds good. But you can be talked out of it, or it can be reinforced. But if you'll give it a little time, you'll work with it and work with it and work with it, and pretty soon it won't be Brother Hensley's conviction. It won't be our church teaches. It'll be, I believe. And that's where we want to get. We want to get you where when you said, it says, the Bible teaches. Or, I believe. See, now you've assimilated what you've been taught, and it's you. It's yours. And when you leave here, it leaves with you. And when you go down the road, they won't talk you out of it. You won't. I've seen ladies, you know, they come to our church and they won't wear breeches because we preach against it. Which is not a good reason not to wear breeches. The reason not to wear breeches is because you believe it's wrong. Amen. Amen. Now they come in here and they quit wearing their breeches because I preach against it. But then they leave here when they finally get mad about something, you know, the average tenor here is about 5 or 6 years. And they go on down the road. And down there it's okay. You know what? They go back. Well, it never was their position in the first place. Amen. Take what you get taught. Listen to it. Take it in. Understand it. And then work on it. Chew on it for 6 weeks, 6 months, or 6 years. Whatever it takes to become you. And then that thing will be yours and it'll go everywhere you go till your dying day. See? That's what God wants. God wants to get that thing down. He wants to give you time to get it down in you so that it's as much you as breathing is you. There's something else about teaching. Teachers teach more than one subject. Students need more than one subject. Amen? People come down to the church house and they say, well, I wish he'd just preached the gospel. Now, why in the world would I do that? Why would I do that? Why would I just preach the gospel? Well, I don't think a preacher ought to get in the pulpit and meddle in all these social issues and all that stuff. I think they ought to just preach the gospel. What do you need the gospel for? You saved? Amen. In the church house, the assembly place of people who are converted. Isn't it? Well, what in the world would I preach the gospel to you 3 times a week for? Now, I love the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. But let's move on. Let's move on. Let's declare the whole counsel of God. Amen. If you think that you're going to come down here and every Sunday I'm going to preach you a little message on how to get saved and live for Jesus, you're out of your ever loving mind. You come, I'm going to take your hide off about 2 or 3 times a month. Amen. 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 You already got the gospel. Now, if you bring somebody in, I, by the grace of God, will do my dead level best to get the gospel in there. I'll mess up a good outline in a skinny minute to try and get the gospel to lost people. But buddy, when I'm preaching to the church folks, I'm not going to preach the gospel to you all the time. Amen. While you get fat and lazy and go out there and live like the devil and nobody be able to tell you from the rest of the world. We're not going to do that. You're going to have to teach a lot of subjects. Amen. Not just the gospel. You're going to have to teach you how to live. He said, well, I'm a preacher, I'm a full grown man or woman, I know how to live. Really? Really? Then how come you got so many questionable things in your life? Amen? How come most of us got a lot of stuff in our life and Jesus showed up today, we'd be embarrassed to be caught there? Amen. You know what the truth is? We need to learn a lot of stuff. We need to be taught. You live in a generation, buddy, that doesn't have much concept of right and wrong or propriety and what's decent and indecent and what gentlemen should behave like and what ladies ought to act like and what reflects on Jesus Christ and the kind of children we are. Amen? Don't your children reflect on you? Then you reflect on Christ. Amen? So we have to be taught. Number 4. Teachers review, and test. Now, when I was a teacher, we had a curriculum outline, and each part of the curriculum had a certain number of lesson guides that went with it. And you'd go to this instructor for a while, and he'd present a certain number of lessons. Then we'd move you over here to another subject that was part of the overall theme. And this instructor would teach you for a while and present a certain number of lesson plans and to present all that information. And then would, after a while, they'd give you homework and stuff, try to help you assimilate it, get it in your head. And then after a while, after enough information was put out, enough things had been presented, you know what the teacher would do? He'd say, now tomorrow we have review. I always hated that. I said, why did you hate review? Because I knew the next thing was a test. I'm not stupid. I didn't look stupid. They'd say, tomorrow we're going to review. Well, the only reason you review is because they're going to test you. But you come in there and spend the whole day. And they say, now remember when we started this, we started right here and we went through this, you know, and we worked on this valve body and we showed you how hydraulic pressure applied to here is multiplied and all this blah, 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 you know, and you can put 3,000 pounds of hydraulic pressure here and a 1-inch cylinder can move a wing that weighs 3,700 pounds and stand it up. And boy, we'd study all that stuff. And them guys would be writing them notes and stuff. And they go home tonight and cram like crazy. So why? Because tomorrow we get tested. Tomorrow, we're going to come in, and that guy's going to give us a piece of paper and test us. And he's going to find out if we listened to what was presented. He's going to find out if we understood what was said. He's going to find out if we can apply what we've been taught. Amen. I remember years ago, my brother-in-law went over to York Tech to take a welding class, learn how to be a welder. And they went in and they showed you the different methods of welding, acetylene welding, and electric stick welding, and using argon gas, MIG and TIG, and all this, that, and the other, and all the different materials, and how you check the heat and the density, and how you have to have the depth on the welding bead, and all that stuff. And when they've got it all through, they give you what they call a coupon. It's just a little piece of metal about this big. And you have to take that thing, and they cut it in two. And you have to weld it. And it's designed so that you can have a level weld, but then you've also got to weld vertically as well as horizontally. And it's designed so that you've got to be able to weld from the back. Every position and every technique required to weld is embodied in welding that little test piece, that little coupon. And then when you get through, they take it and they x-ray it. They put it in a machine that can look at the weld and see if there's any little carbon spots in it, if there are any little air pockets in it. And they check to make sure that the penetration of the weld goes all the way through. The weld has to be as solid and as strong as the original piece. If it's not, you fail. Amen? Now, there's all kind of ways of testing. See, we can teach a lesson in a classroom. You go to college, they'll say, you got this many hours in the classroom, you got this many hours of lab, where you go in and do it by hand and actually do what they've been teaching you. And then you have lessons you get out in the field. We say we're going to go someplace and actually do this or actually observe this being done in the real world. So you got those three classrooms and you get taught in there. You get instructed in there. Then they test you. Because the whole purpose of you going to school in the first place was to learn how to do something. The whole point. My brother-in-law went and took all those classes and spent all that money to learn how to weld. I wanted to learn how to fly an airplane a number of years ago. I was down in Kingsville, Texas. I went down there and I asked that fellow, I said, how much money does it cost to learn to fly an airplane? And he told me, he said, it's this much money. So I went down and I got that much money. I came back and I wrote him a check for the whole thing. He said, we don't do it that way. He said, you just pay it as you go. You know, because you might not like it or you might want to quit. I said, here's the check. I said, I'm going to learn to fly. He said, okay. He said, but it's non-refundable. I said, oh, good, good. I don't want it to be refundable. If I can't get it back, I won't quit. Amen. And so, Shorty Tompkins was the guy they assigned to be my flight instructor. And Shorty Tompkins, they call him Shorty because he's only about that big. But boy, he knew how to fly an airplane. And Shorty taught me to fly. But when I went down there, I thought, well, I'm just going to get in this airplane and we're going to go, right? It was a couple, 3 weeks before I got in the airplane. I had this big old stack of books. And a whole big old stack of maps and charts and stuff. And I had to learn all these rules about taking off and landing in certain places and how to watch out for people that had TCAs, terminal control areas, like Charlotte and Atlanta. And you can't go there, and you have to be so many miles away. And then it had all these things on the weather. There's 200 hours of weather in that course. I learned about cumulus clouds, Virga clouds, high cirrus clouds, standing lenticular clouds. I learned about warm fronts, cold fronts, and occluded fronts. I learned how it affects an altimeter when you have a high pressure or a low pressure, from high to low, look out below, and all that stuff, you know. I learned them three C's about getting lost in an airplane. Confess, climb, and conserve. Admit you're lost, confess. Climb to a higher altitude because you can see further. And conserve because you need that gas to last as long as possible. Do y'all know why the propeller is on the front of a little airplane? It's only up there. Everybody thinks you need that to fly an airplane. You don't. That thing is up there for the pilot to keep him cool. It's a fan to keep the pilot cool. It is. If you don't believe it, let it quit and watch him sweat. It's test time. We gave you the information. You've been taught. You've been instructed. It's been reviewed. You've had time to study it and assimilate it. Now it's test time. You ever wonder in your Christian life why things come in your life that you don't think you deserve? And you can't figure out any reason why they came? It's test time. God been sending you down to a little old church and some fellow had been preaching to you there in the classroom. Amen. And then God gives you a lot of lab time. God gets in your heart and works on you. And then you got a lot of practical experience. God sends you out in the field, out in the world, out into life. See, God uses all three classrooms. He uses the church, that's classroom. He uses your heart, that's the lab work. And He uses the world out there, that's life, to teach you all those lessons and to help you learn how to do it and assimilate it so that you can do it like God wants it done. And after He does all that, then it comes test time. God wants to know if you learned what you're supposed to learn. And the only way God can know that is to give you a test. No, we don't like that. I never took a test in my life I liked. Now, I took some that I knew I had in the bag. I like those best of all. I have taken tests where I knew everything they was going to ask. To me, it was just a formality. I knew. I knew I was going to pass that thing. I knew I was going to make a straight A. Now, there have been some, though, where it was a little more questionable. Hey, man, some of them Greek lessons, some of that Hebrew stuff, that's nonsense. Hey, man. Somebody say amen. Amen. I remember when I was learning to fly an airplane, we had to have 200 hours of meteorology. And you had to learn how to read what they call an hourly sequence report. That's the little wavy paper thing that the meteorologist reads down at the weather station. They had hourly sequence reports and sounding reports. And in order to file an instrument flight plan, you've got to be able to read them things. They were boring. They were unexciting. They were stupid. You say, why are they stupid? Because we already knew that you're never, ever, ever in the next million years ever going to use it. but you had to know it. Nobody goes down to the airport and goes to the meteorologist and looks at that stuff. You pick up the phone and you say, what's the weather here? What's the weather there? And what's the next 12 or 24 hour forecast? If I have to divert because of weather, what's my closest alternate airport? And they give you all that on the telephone. After I got my pilot's license, after I got my commercial pilot's license, I never looked at one of them stupid things. But I had to learn it. See, why'd you have to learn it? Oh, they put some of that stuff in there just to see who's going to drop out. They put some of that stupid stuff in there to see if you'll stick. Do you want to fly an airplane bad enough to learn that superfluous slop and burn your brain out at 2 o'clock in the morning? Or don't you? Amen? You know why God gives some of the tests you get? He wants to find out if you're real or not. What will you do when trouble comes? What will you do when life doesn't go your way? What are you going to do when it's not fun to serve Jesus Christ? Now, the only way he knows that, he's got a test. Amen? Maybe you've had a problem with something. And God's worked with you and worked with you and dealt with you and dealt with you. And you've had time and you've been instructed and you've been taught and you've heard it preached on and you've heard people discuss it and you've thought about it and thought about it. Now God said, okay, let's see if you got it or not. And He sends the test. You don't always have to understand the test. I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to pass the test. I was talking to a fellow one time and this guy asked him, he said, how much education you got? He said, 3 years? He said, 3 years? He said, yes. Yeah. I went to the first grade 3 times. How much education? How many times do you have to go through it before you get it? See? Now, God tests you, and what happens if you fail the test? Well, they post on the wall over there. You go over here to the junior college or the college, and they'll say, everybody that failed this test, the makeup test or the retest, is on such and such a date. And they give you a little time to refresh and review and that kind of stuff, and then they give the test again. And if you fail it the second time, you've got to take that course over. Amen? I don't know about you, man, but God's got some lessons I don't want to learn twice. God's got some lessons, and one time's all I want to go through that thing. I don't know about you, man. I went to school. You know, I went to high school. Then I went to New York State University for an associate degree. Then I got a bachelor's and a master's and a doctorate. I'm sick and tired of school. I don't want to go and have to do none of that stuff again. One time is all I ever wanted. Amen. See, what are you saying? I'm saying you better pay attention, you better learn, you better apply yourself when you go through there the first time. Because if you don't, you have to take that and learn that lesson over again. And buddy, there's some of them lessons God teaches that hurt. You don't want to go there twice. Now, I'm hurrying as much as I can. There comes a time when the teacher teaches the last lesson. The curriculum outline is complete. No more lessons to be taught. And all the tests have been given. So what happens then? Graduation. Every school I ever went to had a graduation at some point. When I went to IT school, they had a graduation date. When I went to a Jet Engine A school down in Memphis, there was a graduation date. Amen? You get a bachelor's degree, there's a graduation date. You get a high school diploma, there's a graduation date. So what does that mean? That means you ain't got to go to school no more. That's what that means. You say, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm sick of school. I remember when I got out of high school, I said, I ain't never going to school again. That was the biggest lie I ever told. But boy, I was sick. I mean, 12 years, I was sick of school, wasn't you? I wasn't planning on ever going back to school for nothing. Well, for one thing, I knew everything there was. I was 17, you know. And there wasn't much I didn't know. And a few things I didn't know wasn't worth knowing. Somebody say amen. I'm probably not the only one that's been there. But I spent half my life in school, going to different schools. But in every one of them, there was a stopping point. There was a finishing place. There was a completion date. And there was a graduation. They give you a little certificate and shake your hand. Amen? Now, when they do that, that's the time you say, okay, I'm through with this. It is time to do what? Move on. Move on to what? Bigger and better. School and that learning process was all about training you, preparing you, equipping you to do something bigger and better than you could do before. Schooling is all about advancement. It's all about not just moving on, but moving up. Now, when God gets through with you, and you've learned all the lessons God wants you to learn, it's time for graduation. Amen. When Lester Roloff drove old Big Red in the dirt on that stormy, dusty day, Jack Hiles went down to preach his funeral. They called it a graduation service. Because old Lester had learned his last lesson, and he should have learned how to fly on instruments is what he should have done. But if he didn't suffer from vertigo, he wouldn't have killed himself. But he graduated. Say, why? Why, he left here and he went home to glory. Amen. Listen, the next step up from here is to be like him. Amen. I don't know about you, but every student I ever knew looked forward to graduation day. Unless you're failing the course. I should have said every student that is passing looks forward to graduation day. Now, there's one other thing here and I'll be done. Two things, I take it back. Two. After graduation, the teacher takes the class on a graduation trip. Go down here to high school, and this thing's gotten totally out of hand. I mean, totally out of hand. We got high school kids going to Hawaii and Alaska and stuff. You know, spending thousands of dollars because they're graduating from school. And mamas and daddies are footing them bills. And there ain't enough chaperones on this planet to get you to let my little girl, 17, 18 years old, go from here to Hawaii with 35 or 40 boys and girls. Amen. Now, you just mark that down. Ain't that many chaperones on this planet. Amen. Amen. See what he's saying? I'm saying mine ain't going. That's what I'm saying. You can do whatever you want to. It's yours. It's a free country. Mine ain't going. That's all I'm going to say about that. But that people are crazy these days. I mean, they're nuts. One of these days, though, I'm going to learn my last lesson. I'm going to take my last test, and I'm going to graduate. And when I do, I'm going to take the greatest trip I'll ever take. One of these days, I'm going to lay down this old body. It's going to assume room temperature. They'll take me out back and put me to bed with a shovel. And everybody say, where's Brother Bob? Look up. Look, I won't be here anymore. I'll be on that graduation trip. Amen. I'm going up home to be with King Jesus. I'm going to walk the streets of gold, buddy. Listen, when I graduate from here, the next stop is heaven. When I graduate from here, the next stop is a brand new body. When I graduate from here, it's a place with no more sorrow and no more tears and no death's wreath hanging on my door. My next stop is a place where tears won't enter. Teacher takes the graduate on a graduation trip. One of these days, King Jesus is going to say, come up hither. And whether I'm a dead or whether I'm alive, I'm going. Amen. Amen. Now, you say, why did you spend all that time talking about them teachers? Because you know what people do? We resist being taught for a multitude of reasons. Either because we think we already know it all, or we think we don't need to know what they're teaching. Or because we're lazy or indifferent. Or because we procrastinate, we'll do it later. A million reasons why people don't get the lesson. The teacher puts out the information and does their job, and they do all they can. Problem is, the student doesn't do theirs. My wife bought a plaque for a teacher that's retiring the other day. And we took it over and had it engraved. They charged a lot of money to get it done. And we got it back just a day or two before it had to be presented. And there was a word on it spelled wrong. I hate that. But there wasn't time to get it redone. So she had to give it with the misspelled word. So she presented it to the fella and she said, "You see the misspelled word?" And the guy was so gracious, he just looked at it and said, "Must be a high school dropout." I love that. See, what's that? Somebody didn't learn a lesson. God's got a lot of lessons to teach us. Some of them are hard. Some of them are wonderful. God's put me through things in my 35 years of ministry that just absolutely bless your heart and bless your soul. And boy, some of them just absolutely rip your heart out. See, what are you supposed to do with that? You're supposed to learn from it. You're supposed to learn from it. Learn life's lessons. Let God teach you. Make it as easy on yourself as possible. You know what I always hated about taking a makeup test? There wasn't ever anybody to the right or left or in front of you could look at. You had to take it all by yourself. That's the pits, man. You only get to go through life one time. You got one shot at it. And I don't care whether it's grade school and grammar school, middle school, you used to call it junior high. I don't know what they call it, middle school now, right? High school. I don't care what it is. You better learn all you can. You better learn all you can. And when you go through things, when you see situations in other people's lives, when God allows certain things to come in your life, you use those as learning. Get something from it. Make it as easy on yourself as you can. Learn all you can as easy as you can. Don't be one of them blockheads. You ever see these idiots? Honestly, before God, I mean, they ain't got the sense God gave a brass monkey. They'll say, "Well, preacher, I've always been kind of hard-headed. Everything I ever learned, I had to learn from the school of hard knocks. I've learned everything the hard way." And he's saying it. He's bragging. I don't want to learn everything the hard way. I want to learn some stuff the easy way. If I see God putting Brother Lewis through something, and I look at the situation, and I see how he handles it and how God has to deal with him, I ought to say, "No, I can avoid that if I do this. Or I can get that blessing if I would have done that." I want to learn something, don't you? Let God teach you. Let God make you and mold you. Learn all you can from every situation, from every sort. Say, why? So that I can be as Christ-like as I can be. So I can be as godly as I ought to be. So I can please Him who is my teacher. That He might say, "Well done." I want that Sigma Cum Laude at the end of the class. Amen? I want to be valedictorian. I want all the accolades that come with successful completion of the course. I want to get home to glory one of these days and have God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ look at me and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, that's not going to happen unless I'm teachable. You've got the best teacher there ever was. Nobody will ever love you more. Nobody will ever be more interested in you. Nobody will ever be able to present it better than He can. Listen to the teacher. Let's bow. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Lord God, I pray that You'd help us to be good students.